podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Thank you, choir, or what's left of the choir after the vacation rapture. And yeah, this is the remnant this morning that we're preaching to. If you haven't noticed, there are a lot of families taking vacation this time of year. There are many children enjoying weeks at camp, and then parents enjoying having their children away at camp. And there are folks enjoying day trips to the mountains and weekends at the lake and weeks at the beach. And some have been making college visits, and some have been traveling to visit with families. The reason we have planned all of these trips is summer. Right? Approximately 3 months where there's no school, and we feel like we have to cram everything into that time because the weather is warm, the water at the lake and the beach is a comfortable temperature, the time of the year is right for all of this kind of stuff. So we got to get it done now because we know that time is limited. And maybe we do it out of habit because, you know, it's what you do, it's summer. Or maybe it's because we know that you only get a limited number of summers in your life. And if you think even deeper about that, if you have children, you get summers with your children in even smaller numbers. And so you want to take advantage of that time that you have your children and to make memories with them. There's no time to waste. This is the time to go to the park and have a picnic. This is the time to head out to the old ball game. This is that time of year. And we've learned that we need to embrace the day while we have the opportunity to take advantage of it. Now, some of our young people know that when they return to school, one of the things that might happen is their teacher will ask them to write a paper that says what I did this summer. And it would be sad if you were to write on the top of that paper, I slept. That'd be a sad thing to write. So we need to make sure that we do things so that at the end of the summer when we write that paper, you know, it can be filled with all sorts of exciting things that would make everybody else jealous, right? That's what we do. It's summer. And I get kind of tired of summer, to be honest with you. I kind of like my routine. I kind of like to settle back into it. And so I'm glad to be in the pulpit this morning and preaching and getting back into the routine. But that's what our proverb is about this morning. We've been talking about some random wisdom. We just started last week to look at some of the proverbs of Solomon. He was a man of wisdom and a collector of wisdom. And so if you have your Bible with you, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5, and that's the one that we will look at this morning. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5, or you can look at it on the screen. I wasn't sure whether you'd have Bibles in the pew racks or not today. But Proverbs 10, 5 says, "He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son." So if you'll join us on Wednesday night, we'll talk a little bit more about what these proverbs are all about and give you a little bit more understanding of who Solomon was, where these proverbs came from, what they mean for us as Christians. But this morning, let's look at this one in particular. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. So in this passage, there's a comparison between two sons. One of them is prudent. The other one is called disgraceful. And the Message version of the Bible says, "Make hay while the sun shines. That's smart. Go fishing during harvest. That's stupid." And so, some of you may disagree with some of that. I don't know. But it gets the same point across, that when it's time for harvest, you need to be involved in the harvest. That is no time to go off. And so it's the difference between a prudent and a disgraceful son, the difference between a smart son and a stupid son, the difference between someone who is wise and foolish, to put it in the language of the Proverbs. And what is the difference between the two? Well, it is what they do in the summer. You need to understand that during the days when this was written, Solomon's day, the summer was the time for the harvesting of the fruit and the vegetables and things like that. So we're not talking about summer vacation for those folks. We're talking about summer harvest for them. And what we learn from this passage of Scripture first is that wise sons glean at harvest time. That wise sons glean at harvest time. So, Solomon also wrote Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And Solomon, and you may recognize Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 as a passage of scripture that was sung by a famous rock group from the 60s called The Byrds. And they made this particular passage of scripture cool by putting it to music. Let me read it for you. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. It says, "There's a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build." Some of you are singing the song in your mind. "A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace." And so what Solomon's trying to get across in the beginning of the book of Ecclesiastes is similar to what he's saying here in the book of Proverbs, is that there is a time for everything and that you need to pay attention to that time, especially when it is something as important as harvest time, because there is a time to reap and that time is harvest. And if you wait too long, the harvest spoils. It goes rotten. It goes to seed. And it is good for absolutely nothing at that point. And if you start too early, I'm going to get an early start on harvest this year. It's not ready. The fruit is not ripe. It's not at its prime. It's too early. And so you have to wait for that perfect window of opportunity when it's ready. And when you get to that time, that harvest time, you better be ready to get to work, because that's when the work needs to be done. Now, the other day I went to visit Peggy Bowles, and as I was there, got the opportunity to pray with her and speak with her. And when I left, Johnny gave me a bag full of tomatoes. These were beautiful, red, ripe, flavorful, perfect tomatoes. I mean, I'm not messing around. These are real tomatoes. I know that you can buy tomatoes all year round now. You can go to Walmart, you can go to Food Lion, but you cannot get Johnny's tomatoes anywhere but at his house. And I can tell you, you make a tomato sandwich with that and you will never want another tomato again. Beautiful, perfect, red, and ripe. And so I don't think he has enough for everybody, but just to make you aware of that, you need to know when things are ready. And when they are ready, then you harvest them. And it's the time to work. So in Solomon's day, it was even more true than it is today, I think. Because they could not get tomatoes all year round. They could not get the produce of the field all year round. It was not available to them in grocery stores like we have it today. You know, I noticed this about blueberries, right? That blueberries, the origin of those blueberries travels as the year goes on, right? So the first blueberries that you see of the year are like from South America somewhere, and then they're from Central America, and then they're from Florida, and then you can get them local from North Carolina, and then once those expire, you can get them from places north, Massachusetts, Maine, and then Canada. And it's amazing to watch how the calendar goes along with the blueberries and their origin. That's the way that the world works. And so during the days when Solomon wrote this, it was important that you got your work done for the harvest during the harvest, because if you didn't, you would be begging for food when the winter came. Because you had the opportunity then to take in everything that had been planted and to store it and to put it up so that you would have something to eat when things were not so good. It was that important. You would not be able to live off your own work if you did not do the harvest. You would have to rely on the work of others in order to survive. So, Solomon writes, "Wise sons glean at harvest time." We recognize that forward thinking is a sign of maturity, right? When you are immature, the idea that you have is, I got to consume everything now. If I have it now, I need to consume it now. I need to enjoy it now. But then when you mature, you realize that you can work now and you can delay the gratification, and that you will have those things later for tomorrow. That we shouldn't worry about tomorrow, but we should be prepared for tomorrow, especially when God gives us that window of opportunity to prepare. So, first of all, we know this. The reason that wise sons glean at harvest time is because they know that the harvest is precious. So even here in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5, this particular individual is called a son. And this son, in our minds, is one who knows that his father has already prepared the harvest for him, and that that harvest is precious. It is the culmination of a lot of hard work, right? Beginning with scraping the dirt and planting the seeds and irrigating and praying and weeding and pruning and tending and fighting off all of the critters and all of that, the harvest is God's gift to hungry families. And so when the fruit was ripe, it was time to receive that gift from God. The harvest is precious. And there's no excuse. There's no ability to say, oh, I didn't know. I didn't know the harvest was coming. Because it comes around every year at the same time, like the hands of a clock. And God will bless, and there will be an ingathering. And it's time to put your overalls on at harvest and get out into the field early with large baskets and receive from what God has given. Because the harvest is here and God has blessed, and there's no time to waste, and the window of opportunity is open. Wise sons glean at harvest time. Also, they know that the harvest matters. Because the wise son knows that his father's put a lot of time and effort into it. In some cases, figs and olives and grapes and things like that were the result of years and years of work and tending to trees. So when the time came, a smart and wise and prudent son found himself filling baskets and storing it away, knowing that winter is coming. And the fruit harvested today will be the meal prepared tomorrow. And life depends on the harvest, and it's that important. The harvest matters. But also the wise son gleans at harvest time because they know the harvest is fleeting. Harvest is a short window of opportunity. It doesn't take long for ripe stalks of corn to go bad in the heat of the field, to get old, to be worthless. They go from being food for the family and for the animals to suddenly being decorations to put on your door. In a heartbeat, they're worthless. The window of opportunity needs to be fully exploited at the time of harvest, not a day to waste when the crop comes in. So can I mention here, in case it has escaped your notice or your thought this morning, that this proverb is about a whole lot more than just the harvest. It's about a whole lot more than just gathering in crops. It's about taking advantage of the day that God has given you and the opportunities that exist on that particular day. It's about being wise with your time, that your time is precious that God has given to you. Your time matters. Your time is fleeting. And you cannot recover any second of your life. It's gone. So I remember when my daughters were smaller, this before Landon came along, we would go out to restaurants from time to time. And I remember a couple of occasions when there would be an elderly couple that would just be staring at us while we were having our meal, just watching us. And then eventually one of them would walk up and say, you know, we had three girls and they're all grown up now. And then they would say, you need to cherish every moment because it goes by so fast, so fast. Meanwhile, we're just trying to keep noses and bottoms wiped and dry, and we're picking spaghetti up off the floor, and we're straightening hair bows and thinking to myself, how do you cherish this moment? I don't know. How do you stop and cherish? Do you just hug them a little tighter? Do you say, okay, I'm going to cherish this. I'm cherishing this. How do you go about doing that? But I listened to that advice, and I heard it, and it made sense. Well, now in this stage of life, I am becoming like that elderly couple, and I'm the one who's giving that type of advice to people, and I'm the one who stares longingly at young families and their little baby children, and remembering those days Your time is precious. Your time matters. Your time is fleeting. So be smart with it. Be wise. Be prudent. Take advantage of the window of opportunity that you are in, because it doesn't come around again. In a blink, it will change and you will be in a new window altogether with new opportunities. Now, let me tell you about the foolish son, because he is also in this proverb. The foolish sons sleep at harvest time. Now, laziness is one of Solomon's favorite topics in the Proverbs. He collected a lot of proverbs related to laziness. And so let me share with you some of these proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man." In another, chapter 10, verse 4, which happens to be the verse just before the one we're looking at this morning, "Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth." Chapter 12, verse 11 of Proverbs says, "Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense." So you're saying to yourself, it's harvest time, but man, I got a good scheme to get even more. And then harvest is gone and you ain't got nothing. And so Solomon says, you better watch that. You better do the work that God has given you on the day he's given it to you to do. Another Proverbs, chapter 19, verse 15, I've given it to you in the Message version, "Life collapses on loafers, lazy bones go hungry." And in case you think this is just about the New Testament, Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ," that's as strong as it can get, "to settle down and earn the food that they eat." And so it was Paul and it was Solomon, and they encouraged a strong work ethic from the people of God. He understood that the one who has no need to worry or fret in the cold days of winter is the one who worked hard to put away enough and to prepare ahead of time. But the fool is hungry in winter because of laziness at the harvest. I need to help you understand one thing about the Proverbs. They are principles, they are not promises. That there are always exceptions to the Proverbs. So if you read that proverb and say, look, if I glean at harvest time, then everything's going to be all right. But well, there are exceptions. What happens if you're handicapped and you're unable to get out and do the work of the harvest? What happens if there's a drought in that particular year, the harvest is not good? What happens then if, for example, it's a Sabbath year and there is no harvest that particular year because God has ordained it that you would not harvest that? What about that then? Well, there are exceptions to the rule. But the general principle is that wise sons glean at harvest time and foolish sons sleep at harvest time. Why do they do that? Well, it's first of all because they idolize their idleness. What makes these sons foolish is that they are busy enjoying the moment. They are so comfortable and distracted in whatever it is that they're doing in life that the window of opportunity comes and it goes before they realize it. The harvest is gone, it passes them by. They say, oh, I'll get to it later. It'll happen, but later is sometimes too late. You see, there's nothing wrong with sleeping. Right? I try to get my 8 hours of sleep every night if I can, if possible. And then God has ordained that we have a Sabbath day, a day to rest. There's nothing wrong with sleeping. Just don't do it during the harvest, is what Solomon says. If you're sleeping, or I guess golfing or fishing or whatever else you're doing, web surfing, watching TV, Netflix, whatever it is, when you should be working or when you should be serving God in this world, your priorities are messed up and it's going to come back to bite you. And that's the principle that Solomon gives to us. Also, foolish sons botch their blessing. So the word son that's used here implies that there's a father in the picture, that the father has planted, the father has supplied, and now the harvest has come and he needs as many helping hands as possible on the farm in order to gather in the harvest. And where is his foolish son? Well, he's sleeping. He's catching up on his Z's. He's sawing logs. He's keeping the sheets warm. He's, He's busy in his own pursuits. And as a result, what's going to happen? Well, the son's going to miss out on the blessing of the harvest. Because with the work comes the blessing. And sometimes the Lord has a blessing he wants to give us, but he expects us to participate in it, to achieve that blessing by getting busy in the harvest. Now, when it comes to our salvation is free, right? It's by a gift of grace. We trust in Jesus Christ and he gives us eternal life. But when it comes to our walk with the Lord and the way of this world, sometimes it requires us to get our hands dirty and to work and to put effort into it if we expect God's blessing in our lives. It's a terrible thing to pray for God's blessing and to not be personally invested in God's blessing at the same time. You may have noticed that we are taking names for our nominating committee for upcoming opportunities, and I just want to insert here, don't miss your blessing. There are blessings that come along with serving the Lord that you would never expect, but they are there. And Jesus saved you in order to have you, to put you into his service and to do his work. Additionally, foolish sons bring shame to the Father. They bring shame to the Father. So in a culture like Solomon's, shame is a horrible thing. It is the worst possible experience for a person, is to be disgraced or to bring shame to their father or their family. I can remember when I was a kid that whenever I woke up in the morning and looked out the window, we're moving from summer to winter here, and I saw snow starting to fall and covering the landscape outdoors, first thing I would do is I would turn on the radio, because that's what you did back in those days. You turn on the radio, no internet, there weren't any phone calls, you just turned on the radio and listened to the radio signal as they began to read out the names of the school systems that were not meeting on that day because of the snow. And they read them in alphabetical order, and there were a lot of them in New Jersey. So you waited and you waited and you waited, right? And you waited. Sometimes it would go all the way through from A to Z and you didn't hear your school and you thought, oh man, I'll just wait. I'll listen to it one more time. All right, 10 minutes later, after a couple of songs that you listened to, they would start again with the names of the school system. Finally, for me, they would say North Plainfield Public Schools closed. Right, and at that time, we would rejoice. We'd be happy, right? I was so awake by that time that I couldn't go back to bed, but we would enjoy the fact that we had the day off. There were a lot of fun things to be done. Now, I want you to understand something, though, something that I learned the hard way, is that I wanted to have fun on snow days, and my father had something else in mind. See, when my father returned from work, knowing that it was a snow day and I was not in school, when he pulled into the driveway, he expected the driveway to be completely cleared and all of the sidewalks as well, because he had a son, a strong son, who could do that type of work. He'd shown me how to do it. I had shoveled many times by his side, and so that was his expectation, that he would return home from work. It was already getting dark. This is the winter time. He would pull up, and that work would already be done, and he could just walk up the steps and into the house, and he could relax for the evening after a hard day's work. Well, I learned the lesson the hard way, because I was sitting in the house just, you know, I may have still been in my pajamas. I had the hot cocoa. I had enjoyed the day, and it was getting late. I heard the car come in the driveway, and then I heard scraping taking place outside the doorway. My dad was doing the shoveling, and he was doing it at an accelerated pace with a red face. And so I quick got my coat on and went outside and said, okay, Dad, I'm going to help. And he said, it's too late. And I could see the disappointment in his eyes. I tell you, that happened once in my life. It never happened again after that point, because I felt like I had disappointed my father and let him down. Now, over the years growing up, then I learned a lesson. And that is, on those snow days, I would call my friends, and one of my friends had a Jeep with a plow, a snow plow on the front of that thing. And he would come over, and all my friends would join, and we'd all bring our shovels, and we'd jump on that Jeep, and we'd do each one of our houses first. And then we'd go door to door, knocking on doors, asking people if they wanted their their snow plowed, and they a lot of them would. And I can tell you something, at the end of that day, I would come home and I would be tired, but I would have a pocket full of cash as a result of that snow day. And it took a time to learn that lesson. But that's the lesson of taking advantage of the opportunity that God gives you in this world. For the foolish son, I imagine that neighbors are asking the father, as the father is sweating and working and pulling in the harvest, say to the father, where's that big strapping boy of yours? Where is he? Shouldn't he be here with you? And he is a disgrace to his father. Shouldn't he be in your field? And the father is disappointed. I remember going on mission trips, foreign mission trips, and working beside the people there. We would bring supplies, and we would bring with us all of the materials for them to work on their own homes or their church. And the people would come out of nowhere, and they would start working side by side with us. They were excited about getting the job done. I remember how wonderful that was, and I learned that many of those people could do the work a whole lot better than I could. Many of them were trained in doing this work, and they knew how to do it for their location, and they could take the materials we brought, and they could do it much better. And they let us work alongside them, basically, is what happened. See, the problem with them is they didn't have the materials and they didn't have the resources. But when somebody came and blessed them from God with materials and resources, they jumped on top of it and got it done while they had help. Wonderful opportunity to see that happen. But I need to also tell you that I've been on some mission blitzes here in our country. Right? And in our country, I have helped out. To go to someone's house and to do some work, to work in their yard, to help to repair their roof, or and bring a team of people to do this work. And I've been dismayed as I've seen the homeowner just stand and watch. Perfectly physically able. Some aren't, but the ones that are, to just stand and watch and to not lift a finger and to have no desire whatsoever to help. You see, those who miss the window of opportunity because they are too busy staring at the backside of their eyelids, they bring shame to their father. What are we doing with our window of opportunity? So that's the question I ask you today. What are you doing with your window of opportunity that God has given you? You are in this stage of life now. You cannot go back. Stop looking back as if you can go back there, because you can't. Think about where you are right now and what should you be doing in the window of opportunity that exists right now. If today is the harvest in your life, what are you doing to be on mission with God and to do His work and to do His will? I've always been, encouraged, inspired, and maybe guilted a little bit by the lyrics to a Christian song. It's an old Christian song. But here's how it goes. There is peace and contentment in my Father's house today. Lots of food on His table, and no one is turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by. But a hush calms the singing as the Father sadly cries, my house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my fields. No one wants to work in my fields. Push away from the table, look out through the window pane. Just beyond the house of plenty lies a field of golden grain. And it's white unto harvest, but the reapers, where are they? In the house, can't the children hear the father sadly say? And I wasn't going to sing it, but it goes like this. My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my fields. No one wants to work in my fields. Let me share Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 with you. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And when I read this verse, I hear this: those who participate in God's harvest of souls will find fulfillment today and blessing for all eternity. Those who work hard for the Father will never be without reward. So let's think for a moment about our window, our harvest, our summer, this moment. Let's think about it for just a moment. First of all, let me ask you this question, because this is the most important question. Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross and rose again from the dead? Have you entrusted your life to Him? Have you repented of your sin and put your life in His hands, the one who died for you? That's the most important question for me to ask you this morning. Because if you haven't done that, then your soul hasn't joined the harvest. You can't be a part of what God's doing in this world if you're not His son, His daughter, His child. If you want to be a part of the harvest, that's where it starts. First, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then He will give you forgiveness and salvation. You will have a seat at His table. You will be His son and His daughter in this world. And then He will put you to service. But understand this: His yoke is easy and His burden is light. If you are a child of the Father by faith in Jesus Christ this morning, then you should know that your days are precious. John chapter 9, verse 4, these are the words of Jesus: as long as it is day, we must do the works of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. We are in the summer. We are in the harvest. This is the window of opportunity right now and today. And if you are a child of the Father, then this is your time. Now, what is our work? I want to remind you, we've talked about this before, that the priority of the people of God is to gather for worship, to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to become more like Him, to give for His work and to be generous toward the Lord, and to go and to serve and to be His people on mission throughout this world, to gather, to grow, to give, and to go. But I want to focus on the go this morning. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, Jesus said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field." That's usually where we stop when we quote this verse, right? That where Jesus said to His disciples, look, you guys, you need to ask God to send workers into this white harvest field. And that's sometimes where we stop and we say, well, that's easy. Lord, please send someone. Please send somebody into your mission field. Send somebody out into the harvest. But the next verse that we sometimes miss because it's the start of another chapter says, then Jesus called His 12 disciples to Him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And if you read on, they are the ones that He sends out into the harvest field at that time. So He says, not only should you pray that the Lord would send out workers into the harvest field, Jesus then gets back with them and says, oh, by the way, you've been praying for yourself because you're the one that is sent out into the harvest. And so this morning, how can we be workers in His harvest? How can we seize the day that He has given to us? How can I exploit this window of opportunity that God has given to me right now? Let me encourage you that you need to be God's person right where you are. That's where it starts. To be God's person right where you are. Are you a mom? Be God's mom. Are you a dad? Be a godly dad. Are you a boss? Be a virtuous and godly and wise boss. Are you an employee? Work to the best of your ability to please your employer. Are you a student? Work hard at your studies and do your best in order that God might be glorified. In other words, no matter where you are in this world, no matter where you are in your life, be the light of Jesus Christ and let Him shine through you. Use the gift that God has given you, because each one of us is different. Use the gift that God has given you to benefit the church, His body. Make yourself available to Him in what He's doing in this world so the body can be all that it should be. There is no time to waste. When it's time to make hay, it's not time to hit the hay. It's time to get in the field and do the work that he's called us to do. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ right now. I thank you, Lord, for the miracle that is summer, when we get the opportunity to rest, to relax, to be with families. Father, to spend time away from our daily routine. But Lord, I pray this morning that you might encourage us with your words, that we might recognize that the days of our life are fleeting, they matter, and they are precious. And Father, that you would encourage us and inspire us to get busy doing your work, being your people. And Father, I pray that if there are any here this morning that do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that that might be the starting place for them, that they might trust in you as Lord and Savior, and then, Father, that they would be a part of this great harvest of souls as well. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this morning through your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.